Welcome to the program, God and Country Radio. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship. In thinking about 2013, I was reminded of Jesus' words from the Olivet Discourse. That famous passage in Matthew 24 where Christ tells his disciples about the future apocalypse and his second coming. Jesus began by saying, "See to it," regarding two things. First, that you're not misled. Second, that you are not frightened. In thinking about that text, I would like these two guidelines to direct our program this year. The purpose of God and Country is to provide biblical exposition regarding current social, economic, political issues in our nation. Believers need to understand the times, not simply for information's sake, but for the purpose of these two commands. See to it that you are not misled. There are many voices coming from the left and the right that incorrectly diagnose the problems in our nation and give wrong solutions. And Christians need to be very wise in these last days so they're not taken in by smooth-sounding political ranting. The zealots in Jesus' day were politically active patriots. And although they were very convincing, they were not following God's will. There are political zealots in the church in every age. They have zeal, but not according to knowledge. And there will be much wrong-headed political activism in these last days. See to it that you're not misled. Secondly, Jesus also said, see to it that you're not frightened. Over the next few years, you and I are going to see some alarming developments as the apostasy the Apostle Paul spoke about in 2 Thessalonians 2 begins to unfold. America will not be the same place. Right will be wrong. Wrong will be right. And the basest men with the most absurd ideas will come to power. But these things must take place. This is part of God's plan. And the scripture instructs us how to navigate times like these. The topic for today's program is the fiscal cliff. That is the financial crisis facing our nation. And since this is going to be an ongoing problem in 2013, this is a good topic to start the new year. The fiscal cliff is the term the media has given to the expiration of the Bush tax cuts and the automatic federal spending cuts that were scheduled for January 1st. In 2001, under President Bush, income taxes were cut. The 15% bracket was lowered to 10%, the 28% bracket to 25%, the 39% bracket to 35%. These tax cuts were passed with a provision to expire in 2010. In 2010, President Obama and the legislators extended the tax cuts for two more years, ending in January of 2013. Also, this year was to begin with automatic spending cuts to government spending. This was an agreement President Obama made with the Congress back in 2011. Congress allowed the president to increase the deficit, but if there were no deficit reductions passed this year, then automatic across-the-board cuts would be made in 2013. So what's the problem? Why not let the Bush tax cuts expire and allow automatic cuts to government spending? We're spending too much anyway. Well, the Democrats don't want the Bush tax cuts to expire on the middle class, lest they be thought of as the party that raises taxes. However, they do want a tax hike on the wealthy, since that's popular with the people. The Democrats also don't want to see any spending cuts to government. That spending represents government employees, and those people vote, and people are not going to be happy with the Democratic Party when they lose their government jobs and unemployment rises. Now, the Republicans, on the other hand, also don't want to see the Bush tax cuts expire on either the middle class or the wealthy because increased taxes will harm business, increase unemployment in the private sector. Republicans do want to cut government spending, but they're also afraid of the political fallout. So this is a very simple explanation of the problem. part of the gridlock is that both parties are wanting to make the other party look like the bad party, which passes tax hikes and spending cuts. Because democracy has become a game of buying votes, each political party is hamstrung and is unable to act fiscally responsibly. They are caught between the proverbial rock and a hard place. They don't want to cut spending, but at the same time, they don't want to raise taxes. And you can't have both. Politicians have become like that irresponsible family in the neighborhood that keeps running up the credit cards because they're unwilling to reduce their standard of living. Now, this problem of taxation and government overspending is not something new. Back in 900 BC, Rehoboam becomes the king of Israel. He was not a particularly godly king, and the Israelites at this time were not faithfully following the law of God. In 1 Kings 12, we read that the 10 northern states, the northern tribes, come to Rehoboam and ask him if he's going to cut taxes or continue the big government, high tax policies of his father Solomon. 1 Kings 12:3. All the assembly of Israel came and spoke to Rehoboam, saying, "Your father made our yoke hard. Now therefore lighten the hard service of your father and his heavy yoke, which he put on us, and we will serve you." So King Rehoboam consults with the elderly statesmen who had served under his father Solomon. They all advised him not to spend like his father Solomon and cut taxes. But then the text says Rehoboam consulted with the young men who had grown up with him. They counseled Rehoboam, "Say to the people, you think my father had heavy taxes. I am going to add even more taxes." And Rehoboam decided to follow the counsel of his peers, and he added a little metaphor. "My father disciplined you with whips, but I will discipline you with scorpions." Now, why would Rehoboam want to raise more taxes? Ruin the economy, create disincentives to work, and anger the people. Because his leanings were for a more powerful, more controlling throne. His peers, the princes of the land, wanted to increase their power. The power of the administration of Rehoboam, they wanted to increase the scope and size of the Israeli government. Rehoboam and the people he surrounded himself with were socialists. They thought, as many people do today, that large government is good for a country, that it's the answer to many of the ills that a nation faces. Now, in the text, we read that Rehoboam would eventually split the nation and bankrupt Israel. He would snuff out the glory days of Israel. And the text says that he replaced the gold of Solomon with bronze. Rehoboam's sin was that he completely ignored the biblical limits of government. For in the law, the king, the civil government, was not to multiply wealth for itself. Deuteronomy 17. Biblical government is to have a limited function. When our federal income tax was passed in 1913, the highest rate was supposed to be 7% on the rich. Congress argued that there should be a constitutional cap of 10% on the income tax, but that cap was never put into place. Those pushing for the income tax promised the voters that protection was not necessary because a 10% rate would be so outrageous that it would never pass in Congress. Now, we laugh at that because we know that politicians who run the state always want to grow their influence and their power. And the people always want the government to take money from others and give it to them. And you know that America was established to set men free from this sort of financial tyranny. But like Israel, America has fallen into the same financial tyranny. Rehoboam did what ungodly men and nations have been doing for centuries, increasing the scope of government beyond biblical limits. In this text, we read something very important about the events that transpired that caused Rehoboam not to listen to good counsel. 1 Kings 12:15. So the king did not listen to the people, for it was a turn of events from the Lord that he might establish his word. Literally, a turning of the Lord. The decisions and the events in life are predicated upon all sorts of factors. People's education, people's mood, social influences, personal desires. But God moves through all of these factors to either bless an individual or a nation, or to bring judgment upon an individual or a nation. God turns the events. If you are godly, God will cause the inclination of your heart and the actions of those around you to lead to choices that result in your success. If you are ungodly, the inclinations of your heart and the actions of those around you will lead to choices that result in your undoing. And we see this time and time again in Scripture. God told the Israelites, if you forsake the law of God, I will cause everything that you do to be a disaster. Deuteronomy 28:29. You will grope at noon as the blind men grope in darkness, and you will not prosper in your ways, but you shall only be oppressed and robbed continually with none to save you. The Scriptures teach that God weds ungodliness with disaster and stupidity. And the way that it happens practically is by God allowing foolish leaders like Rehoboam to make fatal decisions which destroy the nation. So also with our president, our Congress, and our Senate. God strikes the leadership with a lack of common sense. And so they sell the store. Isaiah 29:14, the wisdom of their wise men will perish, and the discernment of their discerning men will be concealed. Jeremiah 8:9, the wise men are put to shame. They're dismayed. They're caught. Because they have rejected the word of the Lord, what kind of wisdom do they have? Isaiah 3:4, I will make mere lads their princes, and capricious children will rule over them, and the people will be oppressed. Now, these texts of scriptures do not give us the specific details of how leaders of nations run the country off the cliff. But we're learning it now. You have unprincipled politicians hamstrung by wanting the popular vote. You have greedy people wanting government programs. Dishonest inflating of the money supply to pay for large government salaries. The popularity of the philosophy of socialism to justify big government. And all of these factors are a turning of events of the Lord, just as God caused Rehoboam to listen to his peers and ignore sound counsel. And what is happening in our government is irrational, self-destructive policies. And the only explanation I can see is that God has blinded our leaders so as to bring hardship upon this people. Our government brings in $2.6 trillion in tax revenues. We spend $3.7 trillion. Therefore, $1.1 trillion is either borrowed or printed. Now, for perspective, in 1993, the entire federal budget under President Clinton was $1.1 trillion. This year, we are borrowing more than it took to run the entire government during any of the Clinton years. We are spending three times as much on government now than under Bill Clinton. Now, you might ask, why this incredible increase? Well, part of the culprit is baseline budgeting. You see, at one time, Congress used previous year expenditures to be the basis for the next year budget. But in 1987, Congress amended the process so that the automatic baseline is the previous year's expenditures plus inflation, plus other technical increases, so that automatically each government program and department is raised by 7%. Every program and department gets an increase without having to fight for more money. And you can imagine what happens with this kind of a policy in a very short period of time. Within just 10 years, there's a complete doubling of federal expenditures. Now, certain legislators have been wanting to replace baseline budgeting with zero-based budgeting, which requires that all spending begin at zero and be re-justified every year. But too many politicians have no interest in shrinking the size of government. It has gotten so bad that since President Obama has come to office, there has been no federal budget passed. Even though the law states that Congress should have a yearly budget, the government can't pass one. They just spend according to the demands of each government program and department. So every day, the government borrows $3.8 billion. The federal government is $16 trillion in debt. That will never be paid back. That can never be paid back. And this is absolute economic and moral insanity. Last week's agreement to avert the fiscal cliff only postponed the economic crisis, making it worse. Spending was not cut, and taxes were not raised in any significant amount. Only enough additional tax revenue to cover 5% of the money the government borrows. I tend to believe that the wisest policy might have been to let the tax cuts expire along with the automatic spending cuts. At least this would move the country toward a more balanced budget. In fact, maybe the best policy would have been to let the Bush tax cuts expire and raise everyone's taxes until the budget was balanced. Now, I understand the Republicans' motive in not wanting to raise taxes. They want to stop government wasteful overspending, and a way to hinder it is by refusing to fund it, refusing to raise taxes. Because every time taxes are raised, the legislators spend and borrow even more. You don't want to raise the allowance of your irresponsible teenager. So maybe a lack of funding will put the brakes on runaway government. But here is a factor the Republicans are not taking into consideration. When the government spends, it borrows and prints money. And the U.S. dollar is devaluated by the exact amount of the budget deficit. Everyone still pays taxes in the form of inflation. That is why your $600 a month grocery bill is now $800 a month. That extra $200 a month is a federal tax on every family. Inflation is a way of taxing every American, the rich, the poor, the middle class, the underground economy. It's a way of taxing without people being fully aware of the tax. Inflation has been used by many countries when it's either impossible or unpopular to collect taxes. Now, Republicans complain that if the taxes are raised, it will hurt businesses and families. But the taxes are already raised by inflation and the devaluation of the dollar. At least by raising taxes the old-fashioned way, through income tax, it's a more honest system. Inflation is actually more damaging to the economy than increases in income tax. Therefore, once the Republicans are unable to stop a spending bill, they should allow for tax increases. The battle can only be fought at the spending side. And if Americans had to pay directly for the level of government they now have, they might be more motivated to elect conservative politicians. I know that this discussion might be a little deep for low-information voters. Eyes begin to glass over when too much economic information is shared. But you're a Christian. You are God's prophet, and you should learn these things. The larger point that I'm trying to make is that even our conservative legislators, thinking that they're helping, might be contributing to the financial collapse of America. Yet this is a turn of events from the Lord so that the counsel followed by our national leaders is destructive. Now, the tendency is to think that our politicians are bankrupting this country like a bunch of greedy robber barons, rationally plotting to destroy America. But the amazing thing is that they sincerely believe that they're doing good. The justification is very sophisticated. The politicians are following Keynesian economic theory, which teaches that during a recession or a depression, the government has to deficit spend to stimulate the economy. Because the assumed reason for the recession is that people are not spending, so the government becomes the catalyst to keep the economy going. Now, there's all sorts of problems with Keynesian economic theory. It's been rejected by many other schools of economics. But this is a turn of events of the Lord. that this theory would be in place to fool the politicians and to justify Washington greed. Another turn of events from the Lord that's causing gridlock and hence bankruptcy is public pressure. People today will not accept losing their government jobs or programs. If the government makes any cuts, people will riot in the streets. Too many Americans believe government money is always available and the government should take care of them. And the majority of Americans are living in a fantasy world. They believe they can have all of these programs of big government without having to pay for it. But as it currently stands, it would take the doubling of everyone's taxes to fully fund the federal bureaucracy as it now stands. We can't afford the government that we now have. 17 million people work for federal, state, and local government. There are four private sector workers supporting one government worker. And the pay and the benefit of government workers is 40% more than private sector workers. In addition to this, 57 million people are on Social Security, and that number is growing every year. Currently, 1.67 workers has to support one person on Social Security. As Margaret Thatcher once said, the problem with socialism is that eventually you run out of other people's money. Now, you and I know how to solve the problem very easily. An immediate 25% cut to every government program and every government salary. Rather than senators making $175,000 a year, they're cut back to $125,000 a year. This is what happens in the private sector when there's a downturn. Government has overpromised, has become too large. For Christians, tightening the belt would not be a problem. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away, blessed be the name of the Lord. We know that we can't expect to live comfortably by taxing other people. But most people in America don't think this way. Expectations have changed, and they will not tolerate any cuts. Once you get on the train of government handouts, you can't get off it until you have ridden it off the cliff. So here's our situation. Politicians do not have the political will to fix the problem. Too many believe they have a right to money. So what does this mean for us? What would it mean for a true follower of God living during the days of Rehoboam? 2 Kings chapter 12, verse 15 was written to assure the people of God that God was even controlling the foolish decisions of their king. That this was all part of God's plan to judge evil and to hinder sin. And what is happening in our nation today is good for the church. God is doing us a favor. It's easy for Christians to get angry and say that these liberals are ruining the country, but realize that these events are happening for your protection and for your fruitfulness. Yes, our bank accounts may go down, and we may even become unemployed. But our goal here is not to amass riches, but to bring people to faith in Christ so that they would be eternally saved. You've been listening to God and Country Radio with your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship. Visit us on the web at godandcountryradio.org. That is God and Country Radio. Spell it out, godandcountryradio.org. There you can listen to or download this program and many past programs that deal with all sorts of current issues. We trust that these resources will encourage you in your faith. God bless you in this coming year. Let's close in prayer. And now, Father in heaven, we again find comfort in your sovereignty over the nations, and we are reminded that you turn all events according to your will. Help your people to apply this truth so that they will have peace and confidence to spread your gospel. In the name of our Savior, we pray. Amen.